This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A pitcherful gets served of that acrid 1982 vintage inflation. I'm David Brancaccio. There's news this morning. Inflation jumped more than expected in the month just ended, pushing prices up 7.5% in 1 year. Let's go right to Diane Swonk, the chief economist of the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton.
It's really stunning. What's really worrisome about it was how broad-based the gains were and how little impact the Omicron wave had in actually slowing down inflation, even in the service sector. And, you know, even the supply chain bottlenecks that we were hoping would begin to abate have yet to abate. But this is really something now that, you know, puts the nail in the coffin of rate hikes. And we've got the Fed now really having to chase inflation. The surge in rents and in homeownership costs was also quite substantial. We're starting to see that exceed pre-pandemic levels and will easily cross the peaks hit during the housing bubble in the months to come. Those are the kinds of things that the Fed has to combat.
Well, what do you think? As we're talking, the 10-year yield is closing in on 2%. Do you think that the Federal Reserve will go more than 0.25% next month?
I think we could easily see 0.5% in March. The Fed is behind the curve, and it's time to let the world know that they're going to fight inflation. Unfortunately, the narrative that, you know, you can sort of just tampen down a pot that's boiling or turn down the flames a bit and get it back to tepid, that's a very hard thing to do in reality. It sounds nice in theory, but it's going to be hard for the Fed not to raise interest rates enough to eventually have it bleed into unemployment.
All right. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That benchmark interest rate did cross above 2% for a moment. It's back down at 1.98% now. The year-on-year inflation hasn't been this low since, well, it hasn't been this high, of course, since Pac-Man was the top-grossing video game, 1982, 40 years. The protests over Canada's COVID rules are jamming up trade routes. Blockades by Canadian truckers are delaying delivery of parts to factories, disrupting especially the auto industry in both Canada and within the U.S. Ford and Toyota say they have to halt some production because of protests, like the one at the Ambassador Bridge, which connects Detroit to Ontario, normally the busiest land border crossing in North America. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has that.
The U.S. automakers, formerly known as the Big Three, have been depending on parts from Canadian suppliers for decades. As much as three-quarters of automotive imports and exports between the U.S. and Canada cross the Ambassador Bridge. Marta Liardi-Anderson is executive director of the Cross-Border Institute at the University of Windsor.
A component might cross the Canada-U.S. border many, many times before it is a completed part that is added to a vehicle. If that gets disrupted, then that whole system is diminished, and that puts increased pressure on the production of vehicles.
On Wednesday, Chrysler's parent company, Stellantis, confirmed it had cut shifts at a plant in Canada due to parts shortages. The White House says it's in close touch with Canadian counterparts about the blockade. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Do wealthy investors who put their money into sophisticated vehicles such as hedge funds need the government to protect them? Now, the general belief among regulators has been that no, they do not. People at that investment level either have advisors or maybe the experience to assess risk. But this view may be changing. The Securities and Exchange Commission is considering new disclosure for private investment funds favored by individuals with a lot of money, but also by pension funds and, by extension, many regular Americans. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
When someone invests in a typical stock fund, they can see what fees the fund charges and inspect their quarterly statements, which summarize the fund's performance. Private funds, like hedge funds, don't have to disclose those things. And that's what the SEC wants to change with its newly proposed rules.
Some of the fund practices that the SEC are going after are a little bit fishy.
Eric Gordon, a business professor at the University of Michigan, points to things like charging clients fees for services not rendered. Still, he says there could be unexpected consequences with some of the newly proposed rules, such as with a requirement that private funds treat all investors equally.
If you're starting a new fund, you might give the first people who show up to invest a special incentive. If you have to treat everybody equally, ironically, it's going to make it harder for new funds to get started.
The SEC's proposals are subject to a 2-month comment period. And already, private fund trade groups have spoken out in opposition, saying the new rules would not strengthen pension returns and would harm investors, including endowments and foundations. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
It's NFL week, even beyond the Super Bowl. Two new head coaches are coming aboard who are persons of color. And last week, former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores was part of a class action lawsuit alleging racism in the league's hiring. Marketplace's Andy Euler has that.
70% of NFL players are black, yet only 6% of NFL head coaches are black. In his lawsuit, Flores claims that racist hiring practices by NFL franchises have made it a racially segregated league, one that's, quote, managed much like a plantation. Richard Lapchick leads the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport at the University of Central Florida. He says the problem here isn't necessarily the league itself. Lapchick produces an annual race and gender report card on the major sports leagues in the U.S., and this year he gave the NFL a B.
They've done a good job in a lot of ways on the racial issue. The league office itself is very diverse, but they don't have control of who the clubs hire.
The NFL teams are independent franchises. Now, the league does require them to at least interview minority candidates when they're looking for a new head coach. But Flores claims in the lawsuit that those interviews are a sham, just checking boxes. The timing of Flores' lawsuit is no accident, says Maureen Weston, who teaches sports law at Pepperdine.
It's filed during Black History Month on the eve of the Super Bowl, so it's getting a lot of attention as it deserves.
Last weekend, the Dolphins, who fired Flores last month, hired Mike McDaniel, a former San Francisco 49ers coordinator who identifies as multiracial. The next day, the Houston Texans hired Lovie Smith, a coaching veteran who was the first black head coach at a Super Bowl. Again, Richard Lapchick at UCF.
I can't say that the hiring by the Texans and the Dolphins in the last couple of days was a result of Flores' lawsuit, but certainly a possibility that influenced the decision in those two cases.
Now, maybe the best way to get NFL franchises to hire more coaches who look like the players is through the players themselves, says Charles K. Ross. He teaches African-American studies at the University of Mississippi.
And I know that they aren't necessarily comfortable probably doing this, but you're going to have a critical mass of very key players that are going to have to begin to articulate these things in the public and behind closed doors.
He says many aren't comfortable doing that, in part because NFL contracts are not guaranteed, so players can be cut or effectively blackballed when executives allege they're being insubordinate. See Colin Kaepernick. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
10-year interest rate is up at 1.99% after the highest inflation in 40 years. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.